Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Friday Night with AJ and the Squad on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Hope everyone's doing well. We have a great show for you tonight. Sit back and relax. We got some people that you definitely going to want to hear about. Again, welcome.
Hey, there, bud. Are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready, right? Come on, bud. Get on here and trust. I got to get you on the way to the grandma. She at the beauty salon. Hey, the beauty salon. That's right. You going by the beauty salon to meet grandma. She already getting her hair did. You got your skin to have it? Yeah, bud. She's going to be creating an investor collar greens, boy. Yeah, let's go on down here. Come on, bud. Get in over there in that trap. All right. All right, bud, buckle up your seatbelt. All right, for safety. All right, let's crank the shared truck up and let's get up on the road. Hey, bud, that's some good news right there. Hey, God, I feel like shot. Clap your hands. Ah, that guy. Yeah, bud, sometimes you got big old neck up. That's right. Hey, don't miss your turn. Oh, yeah, I'm turning right there. Yeah, bud, good old Friday night. Mm-hmm. Don't you forget about Friday night, 9 o'clock p.m. What that, Dad? Oh, yeah, I got it. AJ and the squad. Yep. Go ahead, don't forget that number. All right, get on that truck here, bud. Yeah, sir, come on up to the sidewalk. All right, where that is, hash around it.
Oh, there it is, that right there.
Oh, yeah, come on, boy. All right, that's that music. You like that music? Hey, they're playing gospel music in the hash line. That's right, bud. You know, that's the kind of place your grandma go to. Uh-huh. And they got some music here for you. That's right. All right, buddy, remember? Go in here and be in your basement here. You put your mask on. Got your mask? Yep. Got your sanitizer?
I got it, Dad. Got it, Dad.
All right, Bill. Now you're going to go up here and sit down and behave and wait on your grandma to get out of that chair.
Ah, look at grandma in that chair. Look at that fella. He's doing his hair.
That's right, bud. You got male barbers. You got male hairstylists. Vice versa. Nothing wrong with it.
Oh, he got someone looking good on it.
Mm-hmm, looking good, boy.
Yep, got it looking good like a mess of collard greens.
That's what I'm talking about. Ain't nothing like good, a good old mess of collard greens. Well, boy, remember, tonight, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, you got your cell phone, right?
Yep, Dad, I got my cell phone.
All right, there, boy. Now, you go over there on AJ and the squad page, and I'm going to be on the telephone, all right?
That's right, that's right. You remember the number of that?
Yep, I remember the number, 424-243. 9617. You remember the squad page?
Hey, Dan, it's right. That's right. I got it.
All right, buddy. Go ahead and have a good time with grandma, okay? All right. Yeah, Jim said I got some music. Yeah, that's right.
You read?
You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Hit us up. 424-243-9617. Check, check.
Everything.
Our philosophy, possibly speak tongues. Drums, abyssinians, Baptist, Baptist, and violinist. From the beginning, my practice extending across the atlas. I be at this, flipping in together on the dirty mattress. You can't match this, rapper slash actress. More powerful than two Cleopatra. Bomb graffiti on the tomb of Nefertiti. And please ain't ready to take it to the Serengeti. My rhymes is heavy, like the mind of Sister Betty. El Boogie sparks with stars and constellations. Then came down for a little conversation. Adjacent to the king, been no human being. Roll with cherubim, synapse or coliseum. Now hear this mixture, where hip-hop meets scripture. Develop a negative into a positive picture.
Now everything is
sometimes it seems,
sometimes it seems,
we'll touch that dream,
we'll touch that dream,
but things come slow and not at all, and the one so tired,
won't make it stop,
so convinced this day might fall,
let's love ourselves and we can fail,
to make a better situation.
That was Lauryn Hill with Everything is Everything.
We thank you very much for both of those. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Please bow your heads and go to the Lord as you see fit. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, first of all, for who you are and what you are. Thank you, God, that things are just as well as they are, dear God. Lord, we know things can be better, but, Lord, they could also be worse. For we thank you for they are what they are. Lord, we ask you just touch us tonight, dear God, as only you can. Give us the strength that we need. Give us the confidence and courage to know that something's going to be said that's going to help somebody tonight, dear God. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And we thank you that we know that you're already working it out. You've already made a way, and you've already touched any situation any of us could ever go through. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, if you guys give me 1 second, I'll open up these mics. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, good evening.
Remember, if you want to talk, please press 1.
Good evening, good evening.
What's up, squad?
You already know.
Hello, hello, hello.
Another Friday.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, everybody.
If you want to talk, please press 1. I see a few people that's just coming in and listening. That is quite all right, too. We thank you for your
you
support.
Are now
thank
live
you for
on the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
Right.
Welcome now, chilling with AJ and the squad.
Good afternoon, guys. It's DJ ATL and Styles just dropping through. I said I was going to try to get through one more time, at least a couple more times if I can.
What's up, Mr. DJ ATL?
Well,
is
we
in the
definitely
building.
Thank you. We thank you.
Right.
For y'all who don't know,
what's
he
up,
does
DJ
have a hottie
ATL?
Show on
right,
Saturday
squad.
At 11:30. You know, with that new music, that fly music, that hot music. You'll make sure you go in here and check him and Mr. 6 Eyes out every Saturday, 11:30 on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Mr. DJ ATL is in the building.
All right. So
yes,
how y'all
yes,
messing
yes.
on?
You know how we always do in the beginning, buddy checks, mental health checks.
Let's go around. The phone lines are open.
Please press your one. Join us, you know, and share with us, you know, suggestions, ideas, opinions, and tell us how your mental is doing.
Yes, yes. So good evening again, everyone. This is the Queen calling out of North Carolina, and my mental is absolutely wonderful. My daughter's big sister came to town today. We hadn't seen her in about 4 or 5 years, and she got to see the grandbaby, and we got to see her kids, and it was just so sweet just being out with her again. It made everything okay. So we had a really good time. It was hot, but it's okay because it was good to be with people and around loved ones and having fun and relaxing, and it just gave me a great state of mind, and my mental is great, and I pray that yours is also.
Thank you for that, Queen.
This is my checkable caller from Chattown. What's up, Chick Chick? My mental is okay. I'm not feeling my best, but I'm good, though, you know. Somebody else going through something worse than me, so I'm still good. Check, check.
Check, check.
Amen.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Mrs. Pride and Joy from North Carolina.
Hello, Mrs. Pride and Joy.
Good evening. That's
amen.
Right.
And we must be on the same page, Miss Lady, because Yaya going to be with her big sister tomorrow. And guess what?
There you go.
She's
going to
test drive on her car, not nobody else's car. Her car.
Okay.
She's going to show her how to drive her car tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So we say check, check, driving her car.
Check, check.
That's
true.
Yes.
So she don't mess up her car.
Well, she led us. So.
She never drove this. She never drove before.
Live and learn, learn and live.
She want to take her, so, hey, she going.
There you go, there you go.
Amen.
Hello, yes.
I don't know if y'all can hear me. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
I must have was on mute. Y'all keeping the birthday girl on
from
mute
yourself.
Or something.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, yes.
Because, you know,
happy birthday.
Clay's birthday
you
was yesterday.
You just had a birthday, America.
Yes.
Amen.
Y'all go to the AJ and Squad Facebook page and watch Evangelist Clay drop it, drop it, drop it.
Drop
but
it.
You know what? She being fancy with that cake, so we with her
get
cake America.
Drop it.
She got two cakes and she don't even want to share, okay?
Right.
I heard three cakes was why you talking.
Like, what happened?
I heard three.
Oh, it might be that one you don't know nothing about.
I just want a piece of water. It don't even matter.
Right.
How your mental doing, Mrs. Evangelist Clayton?
I'm hailing out of Tallahassee, Florida. Amen. And I tell you, God is good. Amen.
Oh,
I have more years behind me than in front of me. And I give God the glory. Amen. For celebrating throughout this month. Amen. I started on Monday. Amen. And going in. Amen. On Sunday, the 31st, the Lord says the same. Amen. And I'm just blessed by the best just to be with the greatest and the hottest radio station in the land.
You better
at
say
this
it.
Just say that.
Radio Network with AJ and the
Squad. Radio Network.
Amen. We hear amen everywhere now. Reach out and check somebody's hand, and we're going to make this thing a better place. Amen. To God be glory. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. Got a big wing day due coming up on Sunday. On Sunday. Amen. Headed up by none other than our speaker for last week, Mr. Donnell Davis.
Amen.
Amen. Songwriter of Lord Help Me. Amen. It's going to throw a Wayne Dane Do on this coming Sunday. Y'all going to see that just because he's rocking like it's hot.
I know that's right.
Yeah, I'm rocking like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
I want to thank the squad, amen, for who they are, amen, each and every one of you is so important. I want to thank God, amen, for the FedEx showing up, amen, to God be the day. Amen, right on top.
God bless the FedEx, man.
Bro, I want to eat.
Amen.
Deliver that package.
Mm-hmm. believe we have one more queen in the cut.
We got another queen back there.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, turn you up a little bit, but we can hear you.
All right, can you hear me better now?
There you go.
Yes.
All right. Hello, everybody. Good evening. Destiny calling out of Virginia. And my mental is doing quite well tonight. I cannot complain at all. So for everyone else, get ready. I think we have something in store for y'all tonight.
You better say that.
Okay.
Amen.
And before we go on to the kings, are there any women, any queens, if you are in the room, press 1. You can definitely come on in, express your mental with us, know how you're doing if you choose to. Okay.
We got somebody right here. I don't know if it's a king or a queen, but they want to talk, so we're going
to
come on in. Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Javelin and Dominique.
Javelin and Miss Dominique is in the building.
Hey, Dominique.
Hello.
What's going on, Dominique? Hey, what's happening?
I am feeling a little bit better today.
That's what's up.
Glad to hear that. My mouth is doing a little bit better.
It is.
Thanks, y'all, for letting me relieve myself. So my mental is on my phone, and I can allow it at my kids.
Good.
Well, we definitely appreciate you. I don't know if Queen told you. I don't know if you remember. If you remember me saying that, you know, you're my twin sister. You know, our birthdays are the same day. And you know, I don't. You know, me being a grown man, there's nothing wrong with grown men crying, but. You know, that night, your story, I related to it so much. It was so much about your story that parts of it I've lived or I've been around and been witness to, and you actually had me in tears, which is kind of hard to do when it comes to me. So I just, you know, hearing your voice, knowing that you're okay, that you're all right today, that's a beautiful thing. And I'm glad that you called back and joined us.
Amen.
Yes, I had to hear your kings because I know them.
Amen.
Absolutely. Sorry, I mean to cut you off.
So that kings and their mental.
It's two-piece. South Carolina. Man, my
mental
is good right now. Eating all that cake. I'm trying to get none of them advantage Clayton cake, but ooh, my godmother brought me over a nice, beautiful strawberry caramel chocolate glaze. Cheesecake.
Oh, my God. Well, you're not going wrong in that cake, baby.
I said, God, Mama, you know what you're doing for me. Listen, Lord, have mercy.
And it's chocolate cake.
You ate some yet, Two-Piece?
Oh, I'm about to indulge in a slice of half of the show.
Oh, okay. Well, you better eat a very small slice. That's a whole lot.
With milk.
Share
with
everybody.
Right. You can get some flavor to each one of us.
I bet that's a hell of an expensive cake.
Our own personal flavor. You can get everybody their own flavor. I don't think I want none of that one.
Hey, that's a new definition of a rainbow cake. I promise. Hey, you know they got the ice cream called the kitchen sink. I think we redefined it. Oh boy, I love the squad. I promise you, I love you. We're gonna talk about that one later.
You better patent that one, cause
good cake tour. Tell us about all the colors in it.
6,000 calories.
I mean, the colors. How many colors is it?
You got strawberries on the top.
You
got the big number 2 on it. And so you just got like a drizzle of chocolate all around it. Then you got the caramel right around the strawberries.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious!
Oh my god!
Oh my goodness, Jesus!
That's hilarious! That is so hilarious, Mom.
Why we even asking questions?
If y'all don't
have let that since I was about 10 years old. My mama made one. My grandma said, I got you this time. You ain't had one of these since your mama been alive. I said, what that? Your strawberry cheesecake. Homemade
strawberry
cheesecake.
Chocolate
and caramel.
And you see how you say strawberry?
Now you think you can handle that a little better, Miss Lady, the two-piece chicken.
I think I'm going to stick with the two pieces of biscuits.
For hot sauce.
Just give me a little strawberry chili. I'm good.
I think sitting right here on my bed. Anybody getting all this in? I'm sitting downstairs.
What's sitting on your bed?
What?
Oh,
man.
I'm
going to be a hot pot.
What you want to?
Get a hold of
it. Baby, that ain't a cake. That's a whole bakery sitting right there. Got the bakery on the plate.
That's bad. That's why I was hoping he wasn't going to say the cake and stuff.
Who got an easy bake oven on the bed? Who are you talking about?
Right.
I got my cake. I'm at my desk. And bad day, my case sit on my bed.
Oh,
my door was locked.
Goodness,
cause I know
you
are.
You got all your kids sitting around you. You eat all that, you going down.
We ain't going to hear you no more tonight.
He is worse than the rest of
the same. I just going to get him.
If I eat all that one time.
You eat all that, you going down. You don't want all the children to be around.
We know. We hear him disappear. We hear two peas disappearing. We hear some snoring. We know.
And don't try to deny that it ain't true. It's you.
Right. It ain't me.
Is Mr. Godfather,
so
did he get a chance to call
that
call in?
Do we have any other kings that want to tell us about their mentor? Because he was scared of me. We need to check another
king. I don't know. Never mind. That cake should make your mental real good. Like, after eating a piece of that, you should have no problem. Like, you should be in Wonderland after that.
Okay. Nothing about you.
Did you get that from Willy Wonka by any chance? Like, let me find out. Like, you know the Candyman. I don't know. Like.
Willy Wonka, strawberry shortcake, blueberry hill. Baby, everybody got a piece of that part. Everybody.
It's a good bar. Let's run them down.
You enjoy that. You just eat that very slowly. Okay, we want you around.
Very slowly. That sounds like something that could clog up your arteries. I don't know.
Make sure you go get you a couple of gallons of water.
Gallons
right.
of water.
Make sure all the kids around.
You got
so you need to be in the hypnotics, baby.
Just go
going
lay
down
up under
that.
I just don't want them to start on before I get to my first slice bones.
Oh, my
goodness. No, don't let them kids get a hold of that, baby. Let them
right.
Please don't. Please.
Them kids
don't
need
goodness.
That.
And see, I can ship two each one
and
talk about sugar
and
diabetes.
All night.
And send Jaden, Kata, Pride, and Joy.
Godfather, are you in here?
Yes,
Godfather,
yes, we
are. Like a sex machine.
What's going on around here tonight?
Hey, you know what he said?
What's going on?
Hey, sex machine. Hey, sex machine.
Jesus.
Oh,
man. Hey,
wow.
That is what's up.
What
can
we
be? I'm glad you're on a great spirit tonight. You know, that's
that cake
what's
is working the room already.
I promise. Ain't nobody had none. This
my
is the only sugar rush got anybody up in. How you doing, Mr. Godfather? Sir, you would like to introduce yourself? How your mental doing?
I'm doing fine, like a good glass of wine, and everything is going to be all right. Mr. Two-Piece and the grease, so I've got something for you. If you eat all that cake, you're going to have what it takes, and I'm going to send you a nice box of X-Lax.
Oh, no, no.
Right.
Got to tell him. You said you got to tell him. You got to put it on the end of that house. There you go. That's you, bud. You
no,
got
it's
to
like
put that in every time now. You got to put that in at the end of everything. Oh, my goodness. So.
Any more kings want to talk about their men, too?
You said I couldn't hear you.
I was asking if any more kings want to talk about their
oh,
men,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah. Three great minds think alike.
Yes.
Mr. DJ ATL, you still here, sir? How's your mental? All right, he might have left. Spin on up out of here. If there's no one else, give you a few seconds. If you would like to join us, please press 1. Come on in, share your thoughts, opinions, suggestions. How's your mental doing?
Yeah, plenty of people sitting over there. You're welcome to press that one.
That's all right. We appreciate you still calling in and participating, even if you are just listening. We still appreciate your love and your participation. And I am AJ calling out of Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm going to be honest with you. My mental is great. I'm not going to lie. You know, every week I tell you, up and down and everything's going on. But at this moment in time, I literally have no worries, no issues. I am at peace. I am calm. And like I say, I'm glad to be on the 6 Hours Radio Network. And I'm glad to be here with the squad. You know, all the special qualities that you add. We don't talk about that too much, but you know, for the listeners who are not aware, we call ourselves Squad, and we call our callers Squad because it stands for the special qualities that you add. So that's kind of big around here. So my mental is great right now. Everybody got me laughing. I think I'll pass on the cake. But I definitely appreciate it. Well, yeah, because, you know, if I eat like one piece of that cake, I might not make it to tomorrow. Oh, no, that's not going to be
a
good thing.
You can't have that.
Yeah, because, you know, me and sugar, me and sugar don't get along too well, so, at all.
I think it's for you.
Addictive. Absolutely. Moving right along.
Well, we're glad that you are here, sir, and we're glad that you are a part of daily life that I live. Oh, okay.
You're trying to get me emotional in front of everybody, huh? Okay. All right.
Okay, so I have the extreme pleasure of introducing our guest speakers for tonight. Ladies, I tell you what. They say good black men are hard to find. Mm-mm. Not if you're looking at these two, it's not. One is from right here in Asheville, North Carolina. He is a young entrepreneur who's got a lot of things going on, who has fought the odds and is a very, very proud person to be known at this time. The other one hails from Charlotte, North Carolina, who is originally from Asheville also. And he is also a professional businessman. He has had some things that he had to deal with. But without further ado, we're going to get them an introduction song played, and then I will introduce you to Gene Edison and Damian Bailey. Mm-hmm. And we definitely thank them both for being here. So after this song you hear, the next voice you'll be here of Gene and Damian.
You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on the 6 Hours Radio Network. Hit us up, 424-243-9617. ever since Jamada Adams opened up my heart.
Thank you so much, Ms. Unchuck. Well, you do such a great job with that. So without further ado, I would like to present to you Gene Edison and Damian Bailey.
Hello, good afternoon. Special Precious, I'm over here flattered. You all have no understanding, but I'm over here in tears. I'm glad this isn't visual because y'all will see me actually in tears like that song, and ultimately be able to share the stage with my brother, man. Y'all have no clue. We've done so much in our lives, and it's just another thing we can actually add to our list of things. I love you, brother. I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh, I appreciate that. I love you. I love you the same. You know, I can't do anything without you. You and you set the bar high. You set the bar high, and you challenged me like no one has, and I appreciate that for me. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. And thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Dan. So, Gene.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask you something. You know, I guess the song says when things get a little bit cloudy, and I did want to, I don't know, it just came to me. What in your life, when were you cloudy? When was your vision most skewed, and what was going on in your life at the beginning? Honestly, it caused you to make some of the mistakes.
Honestly, my earlier mistakes, as so many others, I'm sure, my early mistakes weren't recognized as mistakes. Ultimately, you know, we all come from the same community, and within my community, the things that I now, as a more seasoned gentleman, understand that you should live life that way just seemed like a common day for me. You know, for me to step outside of my house every single day selling drugs, knowing good and well my mother would always warn me of certain things, I feel like that was the norm, you know. To pull a gun on a person, to rob a person, to have a relationship with multiple women. Like, you know, these are commonalities. These are things where I've seen people growing up. And I didn't start to view them as mistakes or bad choices until I started to feel some of the consequences. And even the consequences wasn't felt in the very, you know, multiple arrests and multiple incarcerations. It's when I started to have children, missing births of children, mother suffering from cancer, and, you know, being away from your people like yourself, my friends, that I started to realize that this can't be what life is all about. You know, I just say I wasted, you know, it took about a few decades for me to honestly start to see life for what it should have been seen early on, you know. That Yolanda Adams,
absolutely,
actually, I chose that song as a song of inspiration for me because I've been incarcerated. You know, people on the line don't know, or people listening out don't know. We'll share our stories, I'm sure, but just to answer your question, I've been incarcerated inside of prison 3 times. I've been caught up in the judicial system for at least 26 to 27 years. And my last incarceration, you know that my mother died, your mother died. We call each other's mother's mother. So my mother passed, which means his mother passed. And that song, at that time, I think, Yolanda, that song was at the top of its popularity, so it played constantly on the radio. And, you know, it helps me. It says, help me not make the choices that I've constantly made throughout the course of my life. And that I just opened my heart up at that moment in time. I told God, you know, God, if you save my mother, and how we always do, if you save my mother, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And yeah. My mother didn't want me, you know, my mother knew my prison sentence was, you know, 10 to 12 years, and of course she didn't want me to stress over her ailments, so she would tell me that she was fine, and I started to dive deep into my spirituality and my religion, and just knew that God had saved my mother. You know, fast forward several years later, my mother ended up passing, and I held a grudge, and my grudge was that it was targeted towards the wrong entity, the wrong person, the wrong things, and so I realized that I had to look myself in the mirror. And when I started looking myself in the mirror, man, a lot of things in my life honestly started to change a lot. And I know when we were doing our own board and our conversation with the squad, you know, I think you had stepped away, man, but I know I'm sure the queen will come back on and she can co-sign this, but I actually shared them. Like, I asked everybody, like, to really think about their lives, that troubles that they actually went through, anybody that has been there from beginning to end, and everybody said they don't have a friend that actually went through multiple incarcerations, that's been there for their families, that's been there for their children. Nobody said they had. And I said, well, I can testify that I do. And that's what you've been for me, man. So I want you to know that.
Well, I appreciate that, family. I appreciate that. It seemed like when you were incarcerated, I became incarcerated in a sense as well. And what I mean by that is I learned so much from you, and I learned from your mistakes. I think I'm extremely calculated in how I move, and I don't have to make things or do things a certain way. I'm very cautious in things. You know, and this is a funny story. Gene and I were trying to sell dope, trying to sell drugs one time, and getting caught. And the police actually picked Gene up and dropped him off somewhere or whatever, and he was calling me. And I'm like, I don't believe it's you. I'm thinking the police had your two-way. You remember that?
I do.
I'm like, prove it. You got to tell me something that only you and I know. But it's like I don't respond. What I'm trying to say is I just don't easily respond. I don't easily react. And, again, everything that I've always done is really calculated. Fast forward from, you know, just getting into trouble early on in life to me running Wonderful World of Plumbing, my plumbing business. It's everything is calculated. I mean, I'm up to the middle of the night a lot of times, just making sure my next move is one that's helping the business, one that helps me be as efficient as possible, one that helps maximize my profit margins and my clientele and my marketing. And a lot of people don't see that. A lot of people don't see that. They see the success, but they don't see the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into it. But again, you've been a huge part of my motivation. You know, and always on a personal note, I was when you was incarcerated, even the last time, I became highly, highly upset with you because, of course, we're brothers, you know. We may not be blood brothers, but we're brothers. And so it's almost like the burden of having to make sure your children or my nieces and nephews were okay, and I'm scraping and barely making ends meet for my house, but just trying to do what I can on both ends, and the candle's burning on both ends, and man, I was exhausted, and I was upset, and there was a period of time where I just didn't even talk to you for a moment until I showed up on that visitation in Rutherfordville. But yeah, man, we've had a long road, man. A lot of ups and downs, man. But you stuck by me, man. You've been a huge inspiration. I don't think blood could have made us any closer, you know.
No doubt. Yeah. I guess with that being said, I think we need to give people a context of who we are and where we come from. Like, our friendship expanded, you know, 20, 25 years or more, you know, and us being over half of our lives, you know. So you go definitely go first for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Me started out. I was a middle child to a single mother. Life troubles came through a lot of alcohol abuse coming from the males in my family. The males in my family were alcoholics. They became abusive. They were in and out. They were gone. And so I relied on the strength of women in my family. These women were truly, truly the backbone and the inspiration which motivated us and taught us how to just kind of make it in life. So that created an atmosphere to where I was really hesitant and I didn't respond to males, whether it's a male teacher, whether it's a male family member or a friend of my mom's. I did not take to men easily. And so with that, I just really relied on women, whether it's women in the church, whether it's women in the family, women in the school system. And it just made me, again, have trust issues with males. And so fast forward to growing up, people would reach out to me. I would shut down. I thought it was awkward when I know Queen knows our pastor, Elder Blunt, and he would check on me, and I didn't know what that was about. I always thought it was some side motive until one day I just saw his heart and saw that he really He really, really meant well and wanted to see the best in me. He's always supported me. But growing up, I've ventured into art. I've ventured into poetry. I've ventured into black nationalism. I've ventured into a little bit of sports. But in high school, I had a son, and that actually changed me. I was really trying to get deeper and deeper into a life of hanging out in the streets and even trying to buy my first wholesale of dope. And I'll say I'm going to sell it, and I want to wear gold rings and gold chains. But as soon as I found out I had a son on the way, everything went out the window. I was motivated to take the SAT test, going to A&T. After A&T, moved back to Asheville, worked with kids, worked with and these were all kids in alternative schools that had issues with learning in the normal school system. The thing about this is I had an extremely great rapport with these children because I was in their neighborhood. It was the same neighborhood I had grown up in, and they would actually find me in the neighborhood or at a dice game selling a book of poetry that I had written. And it was something different than they've ever seen. And to say Mr. Bailey was out there, see me out there selling a book of poetry instead of whatever else they sell, in the projects and in the neighborhoods where we grew up. But after that, fast forward, moved to Charlotte. Well, actually, I did. I caught a dope charge. A lot of people don't know this. This may be kind of the first time I've openly spoken about this. I've caught a dope charge.
It is the first
charge.
Time I've ever mentioned it. Yeah.
So I have a question
with that. With you leaving Asheville, was that the reason? Was that what prompted you to get your family out of here?
The charges were dropped. Loopholes, things like that. A little bit of research. Me being outstanding in the community and being I was actually having open mics and newspapers, things like that. I created a portfolio for myself. It was just a lot of God's favor working on my behalf. But, yeah, the day that they said the charges were dropped, I got in the car and I packed up my son. Me and my two sons moved to Charlotte that same day. I was going to go to Atlanta, but when the decision was made that I would bring my sons with me, I decided to move to Charlotte and stay with my mom for a brief time. And a few months later, got my own place, and I was been in Charlotte ever since. But I'm gonna end there, Gene. I'm gonna let you tell a little bit of your beginning.
Yeah. I am Gene. That was Damon that was just speaking. Asheville native. I came here from Augusta, Georgia, from outside of Augusta, small town. One bank, one grocery store. My mother. I always ask my mother, like, how the hell you end up in Asheville, North Carolina? And the story was always that she actually met a young gentleman that came home from boot camp who got a dishonorable discharge, and she just wanted to follow. His talk game was strong, and she ended up coming to Asheville. She was his only wife, but he has multiple children. I think he has about 13 of them. My earliest memories of my father was same as everybody else's, I'm sure. Well, not excuse me, let me say. People that I know anyway, abusive. Hindsight being 2020, addiction to narcotics and drugs. I used to beat my mother, put her out of her own home, bring other women in, which ultimately now, being an older gentleman, I realized that that's my unhealthy relationship with women, being very assertive, a lack of patience, not really understanding what love is, knowing how to embrace. My mother did the best she could possibly do. She worked for the Asheville City School Systems for about 24 years, could never make ends meet. So therefore, my tenure in street pharmaceuticals wasn't for the cars and the jewelry and so forth and so on. Mine was actually help my mother stop those tears at night, stop those crying, The light bill is past due. We don't have any heat. That started to really work on me. But she always reiterated that my father, I only get one, that I need to love him. And she would embrace him, and he would come around
She had a first bout with cancer in 89 with one breast. She came, popped in from Philly. I met her for the first time at the age of 10 during her bout with cancer. used to lock me in closets, tell me if I come out how he would kill me, so forth and so on. He stuck around for a good 3 or 4 months and he disappeared again. My mother went through another bout with cancer. The other breast got removed about 4 or 5 years later. My first incarceration, my mother was working at Ashwood High School. I actually went down to the cafeteria at the age of 16 and told her I was quitting school. You know, now I've reflected back on this like last year. I think you and I had a conversation about how she could possibly have felt being there with her coworkers and her son coming down from the classroom telling him that she's quitting school and that she needs, it's going to be okay. I'm going to get my GED. Within a matter of 6-7 months, I was actually in my first incarceration. My first prison sentence was a 14-year prison sentence. I ended up doing 5 years and 2 months on that one. Came home at the age of 22. Went back when I was 24. Came home when I was 26. Went back again when I was 29. And then came home at the age of 36. but my mother worked several jobs to try to make sure that I didn't have to do that. We didn't have the best of the best, but she always busted her tail to make sure that we had a decent life. And I think that, you know, just listening to you share and honestly knowing that shared experiences of trauma, man, seem to connect people, you know. We don't really ever talk about those past things, but every time somebody brings it up, we can definitely relate. And I think that we find, you know, our strengths within each other of those past experiences that really hurt us, man. And
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy where we come from because we use that. We use that to truly motivate each other and to push each other. You know, and I tell people in the heartbeat, as well as I may do in my business, I said, I always feel like Gene is much smarter than me as far and has a much better business sense than I do. And so I just focus and I just use that. It's almost like the Kanye West Jay-Z song was like, I got to beat my brother, you know what I'm saying? So I said that with you, and I said that with my brother Maya, and man, we challenge each other. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I love what we have. But, when you stepped away last week, I think you may have heard it, you may not. I actually told him that our friendship was born out of when you talk about acknowledge yourself and being connected on a higher level of just appearance of race, that our overall vision was that, you know, our seeds or our children would marry one another and we would start these businesses and we'd keep the money in the family and so forth and so on. Of course, it didn't pan out that way, but I tell them that internally, when we talk about business and we talk about entrepreneurship, that we are collectively each other's biggest inspiration at the same time as each other's biggest competition, you know? Mm-hmm. Remember the conversation we had at the top of the year? At the top of the year, we said the goal this year is to have $1 million in cash by the end of the year. You know what I'm saying? And kudos to you, man, that you've actually surpassed $1 million in sales this year, man. So those are the type of things, man, I think about when I'm actually thinking about my next move. You know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely had a lot of, I'm going to say practice, or I tell people I got my MBA from the street. So I definitely had a lot of education from, you know, my tenure and that lifestyle, because people don't understand. Well, people should understand that drug dealers, if they're doing what they're supposed to do, man, are simply CEOs just selling a different product or a product that ultimately isn't legal. But you got marketing, you got supply and demand, you got all these type of things in place. So when you talk about, you know, and if any type of thing that you could possibly learn from me, it had to come from that. But I tell you all the time, man, that, you know, that you have a demeanor about yourself that I don't have, and I think that that's a counterbalance that we have for one another. And anytime that, you know, I find myself in a pickle that I can't see through the fog, I definitely call you, and we definitely make our ways through it, you know?
Absolutely. When was it a pivotal moment in your life when you said, you know what, I can't do this anymore, you know? Like, was it when the last stint that you did in prison, or was it once you got out and you found yourself, like, ready to make a mistake?
Yeah, I think it was the second one. My second child was born. When Mecca was born, I think that when I started to really take business a little bit more serious, for sure. I always, you know, we both always have this cocky confidence about ourselves that if this person is doing it, I can definitely do it better. So I seen certain things that people were doing around town, and I feel like they were just it was being doing it mediocre. So, you know, that's where the shoes and things came in play. Again, understanding that obstacles and barriers have been set in play for us not to be able. So me selling, you know, black market shoes or black market clothing because Nike wouldn't allow me in, even though I would like research and pursue it any type of way to start a legitimate clothing store. But still not realizing that what I'm actually doing is illegal. But it's not selling drugs for me, you know. So this last incarceration, I just knew right then and there that I really had to start crossing T's and dotting I's, not for my sake, but now I have, you know, four children that I, and then my mother's no longer here. And then I'm like, and then realizing I'm actually getting older, that I don't got too much left that I can continuously give to a situation or a system that truly just chews us up and spits us out. And we have to start seeing through that, you know. So that was pivotal for me.
Absolutely.
What about yourself, though? I mean, I know one thing that you did mention, man. Like, I think it was the biggest eye opener for us, for me and you, and the realization of that life isn't forever is when you had a bout with cancer. You know, I think you didn't share that with the people that's listening.
Right. So yeah, that was. I mean, that was life changing, and it was an imprisonment the way you had experienced, but it was in a sense you become trapped in the thought that you may not make it, and then an anxiety builds up to the point where you almost can't get back to normal. You know, I'm not the Damien that you used to know. Like right after cancer, even though I have the blessings of beating it, the anxiety has created a huge lack of patience. I'm not as patient. Sometimes I become really spirited and passionate, and because I'm always in a rush. Like, I don't want to wait on anything. If I'm saying, Gene, let's do this, you know, let's go here, whatever, and you're like, okay, I got to get my passport. And I'm like, nah, never mind, Ian. I'll take some pictures for you, you know. I don't, but then, so it's really, it's crazy. It created a whole different person, but in 2019, I was diagnosed with stage 3 colorectal cancer. The signs that triggered this was blood in my stool, blood and mucus in my stool. Kind of ignored it for several months, just tried to eat less dairy, eat more fiber. Thought I could have, maybe I had a tear inside my maybe my rectum. I didn't know. I just was doing research from online. And so it went away, but then it came back full force. I had the sensation like I always had to use the bathroom or do a number two, but nothing happened. Nothing came out but blood and mucus. And so I went to the doctor, got a checkup. Immediately they knew it was cancer. It turned out to be stage 3. It was found in my lymph nodes and early stages of spreading. And so started immediately with radiation, 5 weeks of radiation and a chemo pill. So during this time, a lot of people were sending me information and reaching out. I started making my journey transparent. You know, I didn't know a lot about cancer. Usually people are kind of silent when they had cancer. You may hear about someone having cancer, but they never really openly talked about it. And so I decided to, you know, truly share my journey on Facebook, actually. And the response was amazing. It was overwhelming, and people were sending me all kind of information about how to heal yourself. And so I learned about Dr. Sebi. Anything I collected information, so anything that came to me, you know, like 3 to 5 times, I would write it down. And so and I started reading about alkaline, a diet that's high in alkalinity. Started reading about plant-based diets and becoming vegan. Started just reading about a healthier lifestyle and drinking spring water and water with a high pH. So I'm just putting all this information together. And then I had right after my 5 weeks of radiation and chemo, I rung the bell. And then it's time for me to rest. I have to give my body a couple of months rest. During that time, I was detoxing like crazy, just detoxing, flushing my body, eating raw vegetables. I was exercising. I went from weighing maybe 215 pounds to 190 pounds. So I started exercising, just doing anything that I could to to just kind of get my body back and get my body in shape for surgery. Turned out to be that the detoxing, flushing my body, getting rid of all these toxins, and then putting fresh things into my body. I mean, I was before I was eating microwavable chicken patties and french fries all the time. I was stressed out. I was eating out. I was eating on the go, eating in restaurants. And so now I'm feeding my body the right thing. My body started actually healing itself. After those 2 months, the tumor that the doctor was planning on operating on actually went away. It disappeared. So after it disappeared, he still wanted to perform surgery. And I said, well, what are you cutting out? You don't. The tumor's not there to cut out. He said, well, you still have cancer cells. And then I'm like, you can't cut out a cancer cell. And so I'm not doing the surgery. And so he said, well, we'll propose more chemo. We'll put a port in your neck and give you 6 months of chemo. I said, listen, if we're just trying to polish off some cells, why are you trying to maximize how much you put in my body? I could, man, fourth week of taking this radiation and chemo, I felt like I could literally feel the chemo going through my body. You know, I could feel myself getting sick. I could feel, it's almost like I could feel it going through my body. It's just making me weak, like feel it going through my blood. I said, I'm not doing it. And I remember I'm telling Gene, like, I'm not taking any more chemo. I'm not doing the surgery. F these doctors. I'm not doing anything. Forget them. You know what I'm saying? So he like, and me and Gina in the doctor's office looking at these scans, and we're looking at the pictures taken of this tumor and where it is in my body and the surgeon. And we're looking at each other and we're crying. We're bawling and we're crying. And Gina's like, you better be right, man. You better be right.
I'm over here.
I didn't know.
I'm literally over here in tears right now because, like,
yeah.
That was the people have to understand the visual, like how big I am as a human. But I'm a sensitive guy, and that is still to this very day the most fearful decision I had to support ever in my life. You know that it's a blessing that it turned out right. Because, you know, ultimately, I just shared with you all my mother having cancer multiple times, and ultimately the end result there. And my thing was just more or less that if you are wrong, here it is now for the lose, one of the most important, if not just as important as my children, a part of my life. And that was the most scariest thing I ever had to support, man. I'm just so blessed that you actually knew what your body needed, and it turned out right. I'm over here crying, man. Stop that crap. Go ahead.
I know, man. What's crazy is I didn't know. But you know what? It made what I was saying and doing made more sense than what the doctors were telling me. It's like, yo, I'm in a doctor's office like, yo, you maximize it. You're going to make me, I'm going to get sick. I said, my company, and then I'm worrying about my plumbing company. It's not even a year old yet. I said, I'm going to lose it all. And then he's like, well, you can get that back. I said, doctor, you've never been broke, man. We used to steal jugs of water from the next door neighbor's house and fill up jugs of water from a spigot and use that water to boil hot dogs on the kerosene heater. To wash up with. You've never been in these shoes that I've worn, Doc. So I'm saying I'd rather leave this earth in 2 to 3 years. Give me a good strong 2 to 3 years and let me teach my son everything I know with this plumbing. And so I was blessed. So everything worked out. I mean, this once I started paying attention to the type of food that I ate, my body started healing itself. I felt better than ever. So he was still wanting to do chemo, and I was telling him, like, I'm not. And so I'm like, everybody around me looks sick. They look like cancer. And I was sitting there, and I could run a marathon. My body was healing itself. I still had cancer cells in me, but the way my body was just growing and growing in strength from the things I was doing, it was just amazing. Of course, the doctor's memos and doctor's notes are saying that I had an amazing response to 5 weeks of radiation and the chemo pill, and I responded amazing to that. But I'm like, yo, your plan was a 16-month plan of chemo radiation, then surgery, then 6 more months of chemo, then another surgery after that. So I said, man, I'm just – and you want to give all credit to what you did, and as far as giving me the radiation and chemo. And I just refused to – and I was at odds with the doctor all the time. I mean, we bumped heads in that doctor's office on so many occasions. But everything was clear. Maybe 3 months after I declined, the radiation decline. I mean, not the radiation decline. The surgery decline. The more chemo. We did what we call just a wellness check. Every 3 months, I said I would come in and do a check. We did a colonoscopy, couldn't find anything. They did a biopsy, couldn't find anything. They found a little scar tissue or not, but they couldn't find anything. My body was clear. That was at the end of the first year. At the end of the second year, in November, I did another colonoscopy. Body's still clear. I'm still following the same diet that I was on before. And I altered it slightly. I'm not as strict on it, but I still do the same things that that I did to kind of heal myself. And so with that, my body's thriving physically. I feel amazing. My company is doing well. Again, mentally, it does take a toll. That radiation zapped around my waist, and it tore my sciatic nerve up. And so I have to, you know, do stretches quite often. My vision, it affected my vision. It affected my memory. I was very apprehensive about actually doing podcasts live because chemo brain is a real thing, and your thoughts become jumbled. Your thoughts, you become confused, and sometimes right now I lose my place. And so you may say, hey, Damien sounds like he's all over the place. But that's just sometimes I don't know what I'm talking about. I just keep rambling until I find myself again. But that's the story of my cancer journey. And it's still, again, an ongoing struggle, especially with the anxiety. The anxiety and being really impatient is probably the biggest thing that I've had to deal with.
I think that pretty much brings us up to current day. Queen actually mentioned entrepreneurship on my end as well. Honestly, man, like all the bad that I shared on today is tons of good. I could never ever in a million years would have thought I would have the life I have now. Coming home from my last incarceration, I looked for, of course I told you all, told you as well, bro, that I had made up my mind I was pretty much done. While I was actually in there, my last tenure, I actually was blessed with the opportunity to have work release. And I was, one of the jobs I actually had was working at a restaurant. They brought me in to actually lift a 50-pound bag of sugar and flour for an older pastry chef. And I had been there for a while, and the woman came in and said, I want you on my line. So I actually went and started cooking on her line. And one day she brought me into her main office and says, look on my shelf and grab a book. I want you to start writing my menu for my restaurants. She actually had two restaurants. So I said, I'm going to challenge myself. And I actually grabbed the biggest book up there. And I got back to the prison. I opened that book up, and it was just so – the colors in that book were so vivid, and dishes that couldn't possibly be food. I just said, this isn't food. I know it isn't food. This is fake. And because at that point in time, my experience of fresh produce was frozen broccoli. My experience as far as food was a Tom's pizza, you know, that my mom would actually put toppings on and things of that nature. The chef was actually a Thomas Keller, the French Laundry, self-taught. And I'm like, you know, he didn't go to culinary school. I don't have to. And I said, if I'm going to do this, I won't do anything half-assed. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to be the best chef in the world. Fast forward, she brought me my first chef coat, came home, and I was adamant about becoming the best chef there was. And asked for any black chefs. We have a great, amazing, great cooks, but there's no one that's classically trained. I'm like, I'm going to be that guy. My first interview, I was strategic about my job placement. I identified all the James Beard nominated restaurants, and they would ask me, like, why do you want to be a chef? Why do you want to cook? And I tell them that the same story about Thomas Keller in this book and how he has a waiting list of 2 years, and that's $400 to $500 per tasting, and I want to be that person. And they'll say, man, you got it all wrong. but just through that, I just knew that I started giving back. So I started working at a nonprofit called Green Opportunities, started to volunteer my time there. While in culinary school, when I finished culinary school, I was blessed the opportunity to actually start working there. They got rid of the executive chef who actually worked for the school. They hired me in that position, so I found myself actually teaching those same people from the same community I actually helped destroy, meeting people where they were, teaching them entry-level culinary skills, the people that were addicted, people that were homeless, people that were veterans, and it was just a great thing. While I was there, I was able to create a social enterprise for them. Created a catering business that I was within the first year was able to make like 1.3, 1.5. And I said, if I could make $1 million for this organization, I could make $1 million for myself. I actually started my first food truck, got a second food truck, got a third food truck, a fourth food truck, started a catering business. And you can make all the money in the world. So from that, actually branched off into janitorial. From that, branched off into when I say branched off, my thing was that I was in my mind, I'm saying it's business for sure, but I'm creating opportunities for those students that believed in me, those people that said, I believe in Chef Gene enough because he set the example that him leaving this organization, I have to make sure that I trust his ability to actually continue to provide for me. So here it is now, you know, me maybe possibly 5 or 6 years removed from that organization, people, I still have those people that actually still work with me. But, you know, in the private sector, I've been truly blessed. But there was always just this one thing that was missing. I always felt empty inside, and I just realized that it was I wasn't having the impact on, you know, the people that actually meant the most to me, you know, the people that society or statistics said supposed to fail. So I found myself actually going and seeking employment. So I actually right now currently work with United Way of Rutherford County in a situation. It's called Voice of Appalachia with clinicians of color with reentry. So those people that's come home from prison or jail that need assistance to land softly, I actually work with them. And it's been great, man. The finances are above average, but it still isn't compared to anything I was making in the private sector, man. But it's so fulfilling to see people's lives impacted, people's lives changed. People come in homeless today, and within a matter of 72 hours a week, man, they actually have a place to live, food, clothing, cell phone, employment, making a living wage, man. And it's a beautiful thing to see people, you know, 4 or 5 months later. I actually saw one guy today, took another guy there for an interview, and he actually told me that he's actually going to start going to Chapel Hill online and how his life has changed. He came home from prison 95 days ago, and for 95 days, he actually completed a peer support specialist certification. It's a certification through the North Carolina State. Actually has employment, making $19 an hour. He's just killing it, man. And that right there means more to me than any dollar amount. My goal, I said, when I came off of prison, I actually want to impact 1 million lives before I die, man. And I just want to continue on that journey. So that's where I am today as well.
That's beautiful. Hey, I remember when you started transitioning. You was like, you know what, man, I'm cooking with olive oil. And I was like, man, what is this? I didn't know what olive oil was. Like, man, if you don't get the vegetable oil from Pringles or whatever from the grocery store. But I remember that, man. And then, oh, you'd be like, dice up some garlic and onions. And I'm like, yeah, I got some garlic and onion powder that I'm going to put on this food. But I remember that, man. Like, you tell me I got to expand my palate.
Yeah. I remember I'd be there doing some butchery on a pig or something. You'd be like, you doing some butchery while I'm cooking some cow tongues or some beef heart or something like that. You'd be like, what you doing with that? Yeah, man. You know,
or a horse heart or something crazy. Yeah.
People always ask, like, you know, what's your favorite thing to cook? And I tell people that, and what people don't know, man, is that every single culinary school is based upon the principles of Escoffier, and they actually teach classical French. Mm-hmm. So soul food, obviously, is like my lowest thing on the totem pole to actually cook or consume. But a poulet sauté, I want everybody that's listening to go actually Google and find out what a poulet sauté is. And that was one of the just what I had to prepare to actually get into culinary school and become part of the culinary team. And it blew my mind when I started to learn these type of techniques and things. So it's been great. And that offered me a great career. Even now with me being removed from culinary as a profession, I still get gigs, man, that ultimately provide for myself, my family, and those that actually still stick around, man. So it's been great.
Yeah, that was like a major stepping stone that helped really transition you from being, you know, in the newspaper for maybe an arrest,
a
recent arrest, to being in the newspaper for catering an event or something like that.
You know, when the city started giving you a certain awards for your culinary skills and newspaper want to interview, you know, you like. Yeah, you know, it's a blessing, man, and it's a curse because of my personality. You know, I actually shun away from the light. When you constantly tell me I need to start embracing it, though, you know, and I think that, honestly, if I was being transparent, I feel as though that my personality and me being an introvert, that has hurt my career. Because I feel as though I could make a lot more money and I could be in a lot more a bigger position as far as limelight goes, man. But, I mean, I'm blessed where I am, man.
Yeah. Well, be more blessed earth. No, I'm just kidding.
Blessed
I just
earth.
Made that word up. No, but really, I think man, you should get just a PR person or something like that to just, you know, to make you do some stuff, make you just do these more of these podcasts and more interviews and step out.
Well, that's why we got
get your
Queen
flowers,
of the Squad.
Man.
We got Queen of the Squad.
Yeah,
they stand their brand. They can help us expand our brand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's beautiful. So, I mean, in a nutshell, that's kind of like a good gist of who we are and what we've been through and a little bit of what we represent. Does the squad have any questions or anything they'd like to add?
Thank you, guys. What I'm going to do is unmute everybody because we wanted to give you your time and your space, your platform. So, everybody, you are about to be unmuted. Okay. So don't start jumping at me. I'll unmute you now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep it on mute.
Javelin,
we love Javelin. We love Javelin.
Okay.
Hello.
Who can't love Javelin, honey?
Hello.
You are. Yeah, you're fine, baby. Let me see. I think I got everybody. If not, just give me a minute. And you guys who's not, hasn't pressed one, if you would like to talk, please press one so I can open your mic. Okay, and everybody that's pressed one to talk is open. So there you go. The floor is yours.
All right, all right, all right. That was amazing. That was beautiful.
This is Javelin and Dominique.
Good evening, Javelin and Ms. Dominique.
Javelin and Dominique.
Exactly, that part.
What's up, sis? How you doing?
I have to tell the squad, I grew up with them, too.
Right.
And Gene was like one of my brothers. We were close. Daddy like one of my brothers. And I have to say, and I'm going to say it again, all superheroes do not wear capes.
That part.
And y'all are. Y'all don't know it. But we be looking at y'all on Facebook, y'all friendship, the love y'all have for each other, the smiles that I see on y'all face. It really do stuff to people just to see where y'all came from.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene, I do call you Putin because I heard your mama call you Putin, and it was just the love in her voice. That Putin, get out of here!
Y'all talking about Putin?
And we was at Water Street, and I will always call you Putin because you remind me of the love that your mother had for you as we was coming up.
The person called me Putin. I know it's a different type of relationship. I love you just as much, you know.
And oh, and I do want some food when I come to Asheville.
Oh, no.
That was Dominique. That place.
Blame it on her.
But I love
y'all.
Wow.
Everyone.
Oh, we love
good evening. Good evening.
Hi.
How's everyone?
Good evening, Mr. Six. For everybody who doesn't know, that is the boss. That is Mr. Six. He is the owner of the 6 Hours Radio Network.
How you doing, sir? Hello?
How you doing?
Squad.
Good to see you. How's everybody?
We are good, sir. We are good. Hope you are as well.
How you doing, sir?
Yes, yes. Very inspiring story. And it does go to show you, your past doesn't predict your future. You know, so you guys have made it. And you're going and you're changing the world, you know, and that's the beauty of it right there. And both moms are smiling down from you. You know, you and I share that in common. AJ and myself, you know, we lost our parents as well. It made 6 months on the 27th for my mom. And your mom are smiling down and they're happy. So just remember, when you smile, they smile. When you eat, they eat. You know, so they're doing the same thing you're doing, just in a heavily ram. And very inspiring story.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else?
The mics are open. Go right ahead. Absolutely.
To the two gentlemen, I am very inspiring, very encouraging. In my books, I put you as encouragement heroes. So may your encouragement that y'all gave today on your life story be an encouragement not just for young, but for people of all ages, because you definitely encouraged me. So I thank you very much for coming on the show. And I'm complete.
Thank you, sir.
404, your mic is open now if you want to talk.
All right. Good afternoon. Good evening, rather. This is Nikhil, the station manager. Just wanted to welcome
you
to the show.
Good evening, Ms. Nikhil.
Hi, everyone.
Hey,
thank you for sharing your story on the 6 Hours Radio Network, and you're welcome to come back at any time. My condolences to you because I've lost my father, and Six Mothers was also like my mother, my second mom. I don't call many people mom, but it was so easy to call her mom, and I'm blessed to have her in my life. So I know how you feel. God bless you. God bless everyone on the station, and I just wanted to step in and speak and say hello to everyone.
Thank you for blessing us with your presence. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Anyone else?
This is Evangelist Clayton. Yes. This is Evangelist Clayton. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what my ears have heard tonight. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
You can turn up just a little bit.
Okay. Amen. Amen. I'm grateful for what my ears has heard. Amen. From you two gentlemen. And the greatest gift about this is that friendship. And then you were so straight out with your friend. You know, you let him know that you was upset with him. You was upset with them. But through it all, you balanced through it, you know. And it makes me think about, you know, I got a new pair of shoes, you know, for my birthday. And they was called New Balance. They was called New Balance. I never wore New Balance before. Amen.
And that's the stuff.
And one thing about it, you brought balance, you know, within your friendship, your relationship, and you stuck by him in spite of him being behind the prison wall. I've been behind the prison wall too. I did time, and I did time down in the hole. So you're very familiar with the hole when you're going to the hole. And then I did time down in the hole as well, too, because I was one wasn't going to take it. I just wasn't going to take you taking me. You know that you trying to take my stuff, and I, no. But I'm grateful that I just got just for your story, because your story encourages somebody else. And the greatest gift about me is that prison was my best friend. That gave me life back, because I didn't know how to live until I forgave, you know, the assailant that affected me mentally, physical, psychologically, and emotionally. And you brought balance, you know, to this podcast tonight. You know that through Christ Jesus, you can do all things through him that strengthen you. And never let your past define your purpose for your future, because, you know, people look at people because they done been in prison and they done been there and done that, and you kept going back, but you got it right. That's the thing about it. You got it right. And if you ain't had no rain in your life, you wait a while. If you ain't been through nothing, you keep living. You keep living. Amen. I didn't live, amen, this long to get 68 years old, amen, and to tell God
amen.
Thank you for who he is all by himself. Amen.
Right.
Rest, ruling, and abiding. I done 5.5 years, 1 year and a day in prison. Amen. To God be the glory. So I'm just grateful for the Lord just being who he is in my life. Amen. And I thank God, amen, that you brought something to the table tonight that we can go away with tonight. Those that hadn't been there, ain't done nothing, amen, just keep living. Just keep
That's
living.
Right.
You're going to have some rain in your life. Amen. To God be glory. So I'm grateful for you gentlemen tonight, because it brought a healing, it brought a deliverance. Amen. To the podcast tonight too. Each and everyone that has an ear to hear. Amen. Never let your past define your purpose for your future. And I just ask the Lord to continue to increase you in your business. Amen. In your aspect and touching other lives. Amen. Because I came from a poor family. We had nothing. Barefooted. Amen. Going to school barefooted. amen, had to raise up off a chicken on the yard and so forth, and had to run and catch some chickens, had to work in the cotton field, tobacco field, amen. But I give God the praise and the honor just to be able to be in your presence tonight, to see how God will take something, take a nothing and make something out of. You are creative, and keep doing what you're doing, both of you, because you're making a difference in your community, amen, in the service that you put out, amen. And I just ask the Lord just to continue to bless you all even the more. I'm completed. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Hey, I just
want to. Oh, go ahead. I apologize.
Hey, no, you can say.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I just want to thank both of y'all for coming out. Y'all's story was very interesting. You could tell that it's love there. You could tell that it's care there.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that it's friendship there. You can tell
that's
everything
hard.
That's in between y'all. Y'all was just finishing each other. You okay? I don't say this now. Your turn. And then the one that got me is the one that said, I really wanted to get out there and beat you. Now, that part I like right there, being honest, you know, because when you have a close relationship and you come out there and you say, I really wanted to beat you, you know, y'all friends and everything, but I still wanted to beat you in this competition. I like the way that you said that because that was good. That was good when you honestly can tell your friend or your close person that you work with that, I wanted to get out there and beat you. That was good. I think that was good for us. That was good because, you know, a lot of people you can work with. You can work with a lot of people, but you can't have that relationship, that love, that curl, that same thing that you guys have. If you have that right there, you got the whole thing right there. Because y'all was just finishing each other. Okay, you go. It was awesome. It was awesome and amazing. And I think
you
two guys are good. You guys are great. And I think you guys are going to do more bigger things than you have already done. I think you still have a lot more ahead of you to come.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
So I want to say this right here. So this is entitled This Day. Can this day become more than just this day? Can we let this day extend itself to become the rest of our lives? Let this day promise itself to us and only us. I want to be the invisible hands that massage the mind's muscle and bring you comfort. I pray to extend this day into eternal tomorrows, other days, and those no longer matter to me. Let's just make this day become more than just this day. That was written by Mr. Damian Bailey himself. I love you. I have watched these two men, and they didn't tell half their story and half their advantages. You know, Gene is my T-shirt man. He's done all my T-shirts for us. He's great with it. All you got to do is send him a picture. Boom, it's there. Day-Day has supported our youth department at church. We grew up in church together. He's supported our youth department at church. He had a contest. I don't know if you remember Day-Day. He had a contest, and he had to write an essay. And he gave them, the one that won, he gave them a laptop for school. So these young men are really something to look up to. And I have watched them. I've watched their trials, their tribulations. And I couldn't love you more than I could if I had to. You know, all y'all, you know, running around Southside together. And, you know, I love your moms because they're great women and they've raised some great men. So we always talk about it. Squad, you know, we always say women can't raise great men. That's a damn lie. Because those two women raised two very great men. And then some, you know. Day-Day's got a brother, you know, so he's just as great as he is. I love you guys. Thank you guys so much. You know, y'all in my heart. So I thank you so much for coming on. Feel free to come back anytime. You know, I'm going to keep in touch with both of y'all because we got work to do. We got work to do. So I just thank you so much. And I just know I am so sorry,
Real quickly. Was somebody want to say something?
Yeah, I was just saying, definitely come back. And who made the T-shirts?
Jane.
Who was that?
Jane.
Okay.
I'm
throwing out there since you asked, brother. So,
come on, advertise. Come on.
We are a full service printing company, the only black owned, 100% black owned company in Western North Carolina. So please check us out at www.bigtimeprinters.com. That's time with a Y, bigtimeprinters.com. We do embroidery, screen printing, digital, direct to garment, digital graphics, you name it, we do it all in house. Please check us out.
I tell you what, I definitely will. And the plumber, advertise your business as well. And go right ahead.
All right. The name of the company is Wonderful World of Plumbing. We're based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The website is wonderfulplumber.com. We do all residential. We do some commercial, but we do all residential plumbing.
And he had his mother working with him, y'all. Ain't that so sweet?
Yeah, my son and my nephew works with us. My mother.
real quickly, I say it all the time, tonight is no different. I love being a part of the 6 Hours Radio Network. I love being a part of AJ and the squad, for what we built, for what we create, and all the different types of individuals that we have brought together. And I say it all the time, story after story after story of survivors, of people who understand what it means. Like I say, the mental, the spiritual, the soulful wars that a lot of us have had to go through. You know, we've been beat down, we've been through so many things, and yet we still get up. And just to touch upon what everybody else has said tonight, these two gentlemen, if you say, what would be the definition of brotherly love? What would be the definition of, am I my brother's keeper? What is the definition of true friendship? You know, my homie, my rider, my family. I think that these two gentlemen have definitely defined that. And so anyone who listens to the podcast, anybody who really listens to what these two gentlemen brought tonight, I definitely role models, you know, definitely following their footsteps. I can relate to a lot of the stories when it comes to the streets and the things that goes on. And to overcome so many different obstacles, as so many of our guests that come on here have. And I just love being part of what's genuine, you know. It's all love. And I love to hear the survivor stories and to know that such hardships and people running the gauntlet, trials and tribulations have turned so many people into great people, still with love in their spirit and love in their soul. And like you said, it's about giving back. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody gave to us, somebody helped us, somebody, if it wasn't no one but God, that's good enough, and be thankful for that. But some of us have had people along the way, and we maybe at the time we weren't aware, but now you are, and you can go back, and you're like, you know what, if it wasn't for this person or that person, or my brother, like you said, these two gentlemen, you pushing me, and we're each of us are our own competition, pushing and striving each other to do better, and we need more of that in the world, you know what I'm saying? The friendly competition, the friendly strive, the friendly push, and if we could all do what these two gentlemen have done, just imagine as a community, as a culture, what could be accomplished. So I just want to say, for me personally, from AJ, I appreciate your story. I appreciate your perseverance, and I appreciate you come on here with your testimony. Yeah, because I definitely know that any young man that hears that, any men going through things, this definitely could be something that could definitely help them overcome. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, John.
Absolutely. I echo what he said. And once again, before we get out of here, I'm going to definitely be I wish you lived in Ohio, because, man, the plumbing, man. But definitely, definitely, we got a lot of listeners where you're at, and you got listeners all over the world. So not only a lot of people heard you tonight. So you both have definitely inspired a lot of people, myself included. And like I said, just continued success. Welcome to the 6 Eyes family. T-Person, I will be impressed with you. So man, yeah. God bless you both.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
There's someone in the background trying to be heard. Go right ahead.
Hello, yes. I hope y'all can hear me. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah,
on your phone up, Miss Destiny. We appreciate it.
This is Destiny calling from Virginia. Queen, you know I got to do it. One, ladies, ladies, ladies. Queen tried to draw the attention to the page. If y'all don't know it, she put attention, attention, attention. And I'm telling you, attention was definitely needed. One is like a cuddly teddy bear, and one is like a built-up Ricky Smiley.
See, I couldn't say that, so you know.
I just don't know. Yes, indeed. She really pulled the attention to the page, and attention was definitely met. I just love y'all's story, and I love y'all's dialogue. This is Destiny once again.
Thank you, Destiny. Appreciate you, sweetheart.
828, you just put your hand up. Would you like to speak? 828. Okay.
If you're 828, you press 1, your mic is open. Okay. Well,
that's
we'll
all right.
In.
We're glad you're here anyway. We're definitely glad you're here. So your mic is open, so whenever you want to talk, you go right ahead. But thank you, Destiny, because I couldn't do nothing but put it out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very much now.
So, AJ, we're going to have to get these women a block of ice for next week.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, you know, we got all that icy hot, whatever y'all want, dry ice. Bags of ice are cheap down here. I mean, you know, nothing else. I promise you. Though. We can work it out. Call up Mr. Freeze Bar with Freeze Ray Gun, you know, call up Sub-Zero. I mean, we can get it together, you know what I'm saying? But.
Look at that.
Chuck
with everybody giggling. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
Yes.
Do we have some business to attend to?
Yep, we got a little music we want to listen to a little bit, a little song. We'll set the mood a little bit. And then we'll take care of a few other things, pay some bills, and then we can head on out for the night. So we thank everybody. We thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for those stories. Oh, God, I just can't. Mm. Oh. For me, women can't raise no men.
Yeah.
Everybody good?
Yeah. Those encouraging heroes.
When you're down.
You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Hit us up, 424-243-9617.
Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing. Ain't nothing.
That was Aretha Franklin, Precious Lord.
Thank you, Mr. for that. Appreciate that. It was a nice song.
Beautiful. Yes,
absolutely.
It was. You got a friend. Want y'all to know that. You got a friend. And if we didn't just find out what true friendship was about, then there's something wrong. Their friendship is incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
And the good part about it is that it's been like that as long as I remember all of them. And they, you know, it's a few other ones that go along with that group of them, but they've been like that since they were babies, since they were kids, you know, and they've, you know, probably fell out from time to time. Like they said, they've been each other's biggest competition, but they've also been each other's best friend. Everybody's rock, everybody's playing, like you said, and that's rare. And that's rare to find it to last as long as it lasts and has lasted. And, you know, that's truth. That's just real right there. You know, and when he told me he was upset with him because he had, you know, he was trying to take care of his kids and his household, too, and he was scraping. You know, like he said, I was mad at you. And you should be able to have that kind of conversation with your real friend, you know, without no harsh danger going on. But like they said, they and they have been friends just like that for all of their life, just about. And that's a beautiful thing.
Okay.
And so speaking on Mr. Gene talking about being a chef, we're going to take a moment to do an American history moment, and we'll be talking about James Hemmings, who is actually the first African-American chef to train in France. He was born in Virginia in 1765. At the age of 8, he became Thomas Jefferson's slave through an inheritance. His sister Sally was also enslaved by Jefferson and later gave birth to Jefferson's children. He cooked the historic meal between Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson. He introduced European-style macaroni and cheese, French fries, cream below, and ice cream to America. So two-piece, you know, you got some ice cream thanks to James Hemmings to eat that cake you got. This is Jane Queen with your American History Moment with AJ and the Squad on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Thank you. You wanted it, you got it, sir. You got it.
We got to pay some bills in a commercial.
Yeah, we do. We do. Let's do that. Let's pay a few little bills here, too.
After that, I believe we got some good trending topics to get into tonight. I can't wait for that. That's going to be fun.
That's going to be definitely interesting, that's for sure. Definitely interesting.
Absolutely. There's a lot of things going on in the world.
Get advice here, some good advice. Do not, he said, take some drugs. Man,
hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Did you know that there are many types of abuse going on in the world today? In just the United States alone, every 10 seconds, there's some form of abuse being reported. In the entire world, that's over 123 countries. Every 0.8 seconds, there is a form of abuse being reported. Abuse is a serious thing that is happening in the world today. Report that abuse. If you think somebody being abused, or you know for sure, please call 1-800-799-6868.
safe. That's 1-800-799-7233. Report that abuse. It can save somebody's life one day. This is Two Piece with the Six Eyes Radio Network, AJ and Dust.
Thank you for that, Mr. Two Piece.
That was great. Thank you.
And remember, don't drive and text. The life you save may be young.
That's right.
Seatbelt.
What happened? What happened?
I said, then wear your seatbelt.
Absolutely. Do not ghost ride the whip without the seatbelt.
Click it. Click it.
All right, we'll get to the trending topics. So let's talk about
absolutely. We haven't done it in a while. Let's get into some trending topics. Go ahead, Queen, whatever's on the board. Just pick something and we'll just go all in.
So I want to talk about a young man in Alabama. He is set to be executed. He killed a woman back in 1994. He's been in jail all this time. The family of the victim has written a letter to the judge. They've got a state representative to write the letter. They didn't want the man to be executed. They want him to sit in prison and suffer the rest of his life because, you know, he took a life, but that's comforting for them. They don't want him to just die. So the judge, because the biggest thing is they say they can't, they're not God. They can't play with anybody's life. On executing this man. And the family is so torn up because they don't want him executed. So they can't understand why the family feels the way they feel. But I just feel like if the family decides or if they feel like that, I mean, why are the family's feelings not taken into consideration here? And, you know, the girls grew up, but the girls, the victim's mother, sisters, state representative to let them don't execute him, but they're still going to execute him anyway. What y'all think about that?
Let's go around the room with the queens. If the queens would like to jump in with that one. Nobody. Come on, now.
Hello.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Somebody helloing back there.
Hello. It should be that. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, honey. Me personally.
Go ahead, baby.
Did you feel the family on that? Because I don't want my son's killer executed because I feel like it's a coward's way out.
Right.
Because we still suffering and got to go through the mental pain and see the pain and feel the pain. So I want my son's killers to go through the same thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to feel what I'm going through and what they put us through. So I can feel the family on that.
Right.
I think the judge is trying to get extra money. Because they told me, like, we can have say-so. Well, that asked me my opinion, but I give it anyway. But I told them I don't want nobody dead. I want them to suffer just like I'm suffering. Every day that I'm alive, I want them to suffer. And I'm not going to lie, there'll be times where I want to send them pictures of my son, of him and his baby, while one of them sitting right there in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wanting to send pictures where they can see what they took.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. May I?
Absolutely,
ma'am.
It's just Evangelist Clayman. I know that the clemency board rejected the asking of the family, and I definitely understand. I don't know your pain, amen. I don't know your pain because I've never had one of my shot and killed or a murder, but I do have family members and kinfolk that has been, their life has been taken, but don't you think that we would be just as guilty? We would be just as guilty because the word of God said, "Thou shalt not kill," but we that actual crime does happen, you know, and we would be just as guilty if we're sitting there rooting for someone in life to be to be executed, so forth. And I know it's painful. I know it's painful. I can't fathom it. I can't fathom it. But I do understand. You know, you committed a crime. You do the time. You do the time for the crime that you committed. You know, and it gives you an opportunity to sit and think to what made you or what fathomed you to even want to take a life. You know, what jealousy, envy, and strike that it came into the kind of place to take a life. You know, but it does happen. It does happen on a day-to-day basis. We see that happening all around us. But I think that we would be just as guilty to want to sit and praise on someone else's life being taken, because that's just like we're committing the murder, even though our hands are not there. You know, and my thing is, you know, you done the crime, you do the time, and that within itself, I can definitely agree with, you know, to give the killer, the murderer, you know, an opportunity, the rapist an opportunity to face the piper, you know, to face the piper, to see how much pain and hurt that you have caused one family. You know, and it gives you an opportunity to get your perspective in order, because judgment days are coming. Judgment days are coming. So, you know, they're going to give an accountability to whatever the act may be, whatever the act may be. And I just think about how they whooped our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, how they pierced him in the side and how they hung him high and stretched him wide, you know, how they took somebody that never committed no wrong, but he gave his only life that you and I may have a right to the tree of life. You know, so my heart goes out to both families, dear Taylor, the one that took the life, you know, and lives that were taken. My heart goes out to it, but as two, my question is, don't we feel much guilty as the one that really pulled the trigger or the one that really done the act? You know, me, myself, I can only speak for myself. I can only speak for myself, my heart. You know, the heart of the matters. The heart of the matters. And so I just feel as though we would be just as guilty to praise and root that on. Because you know, his word lets us know that we have to forgive in all things. You know, you say, well, why do I forgive for a murder? Why do I forgive for a rape or molestation or battered or abused? You know, because in order that we live, we have to forgive. We even have to forgive those that have trespassed against us and whatever type of act that they have done. And that I'm completed. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you.
I think, you know, with this time, we go back to this. I think that with this time, it's so much different kind of mentals that you have out here. You know, and so much going on. When it's your children, and I'm speaking of me, when it's your children, you can't say you will and you can't say you won't. I mean, I know I can't. I know I'm speaking of mine. You can't say you will, you won't say you want. Because you're talking about a child that you don't have in your stomach. Your stomach don't grow, all this stuff. All this stuff we don't been through with our kids, you know. You can't say. I know I can't say what I do. Because I love my children. I don't care. I can't say what I do. Because, I mean, it depends on what kind of mindset you were at that particular time when that person does something. Nobody can say what they'll do. We can say that, okay, we won't do it. But at that time, you never know. You might do it. Never know. Never know what might happen. I mean, you don't know what set of mind you may be in at that time that something like that happened to you or what you got going on at that time, which we should, you know, we should be able to hold ourselves back and stuff like that. But you never know. You never know until something like that, something dramatic happened like that to you. You never know what might happen. Because you, especially when you see it being done, you don't seen it being done before, or you hear people talk about it. And that's got to be the awfulest feeling, because it's got to be a feeling worse than when you lose a child. It's got to hurt way worse than that. So you never know. you never know until you at that moment. You never know.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what I say.
They are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. ACL, man. There you go. I have my opinion. It's just my opinion only. It's just a new day in social media. It's a new day in time. The way we look at society now is very different and very out of the different eyes. And this is not just for elders, but everyone from different eyes. I think it comes down to how you raise, what you value, what you believe in, and what you believe in that's right and wrong, and what you think is right is right. I think those are the things we have to look from our eyes when we see. We see things right from our thing, and we look for logic. Most people with a regular mindset will look for logic. But I just have to be honest with people. Not everyone looks at things from logic. And like this gentleman told me a couple months ago, that broadcast came from a lot of them. Like, and can't folks say this too? We got people that born into this world, and I hate to say this, and I hate even vibing off what they're saying. We just got people that are monsters. They come into this world to be monsters. And we can't have no control over that. And just people, we just know that they just want to hurt people because they feel that that's what they were designed to do, to hurt people and hurt their process and mindset. And by me saying that, I'm not knocking anybody and saying that people are coming into our society as monsters. But what I'm saying is in life now and where we look at everything is about value dollars. Everything we look at, rent's got to be paid. Finance stuff. Want this, you got to have finance. And a lot of times those things compromise people's mindsets and make people do things that they wouldn't do normally and have them put in positions and make bad decisions and still sometimes go down that bad road. I just want to say that on top of but the thing is, I think in my set of buy process and what I tell everyone, a lot of times people ask me about church, synagogue, mosque, anything out there that's going to give you a heaven godly, a mindset of guidance, of love and passion and strength. Those four things that we talk about, church and synagogues and mosques and everything else out there, has been a stepping stone for people to be better as themselves. And now in this society, we shun all those things and try to find a way not to believe in those things, to think that we're walking around on our own, making our own decisions, when there is still a high power making decisions. And that's the reason why you are walking, and that's why you are waking up every morning. I mean, I want to preach now because I still got to preach. I have to preach too because everyone is put in situation because God allows it. God knows what time he takes away their children. He knows what kind of message he sends when you leave this earth. He's the only one who knows paid time and when you're going. Man will never know what time and how it ends or when he's going to go and why he's going to go. He just knows that there's a time that he do want to leave earth. But in reality, it is one power and one source, that higher power, that knows everything for what we do. So I just want to say that. That's just to say that encouragement over all the evil and all the things I just talked about, still there's a high power who's in control. And that's why we're still here. And that's why we're still driving. That's why we go through situations. That's why we still here. It's because of that high power. That high power has control. It letting us allow ourselves to be here. I bless the high power for allowing us to be even on this phone conversation to even speak about this. At this place where you can even speak without going bye-bye. So I'm going to go ahead and pass the ball. I appreciate y'all giving me the chance to speak on y'all, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
We appreciate you, Mr. DJ ATL. And for all y'all who don't know, Saturday nights on the 6 Hours Radio Network at 11:30. You check Mr. DJ ATL with all the hottest new music, great topics, conversation, and I believe Mr. Six, he was usually there. If you want to catch him, he's kind of hard. He's everywhere. He's all over the place, very busy guy. But 9 times out of 10, you can catch him Saturday nights with Mr. DJ ATL, 11:30 Eastern Time. I apologize, Ms. Clay. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was just saying Clay Fox.
Don't go right ahead.
Amen. Amen. I just thank God, amen, for all that my ears have heard. I'm grateful. My heart is warm, and all my love goes out, amen, to you, amen, that have fated their lost and loved ones, amen, in fatal, amen. And you know, I just give God the praise and ask the Lord just to continue to massage your heart even the more. Amen. I'm completed. Yes.
Does anybody else have anything they'd like to say about it? I just got something real quick.
Okay.
Listening to everybody, I mean, first and foremost, my soul and my spirit, I definitely think that first and foremost, the best way for somebody to really feel your pain and your suffering would be to do life. My second part, because I do believe also in the eye for an eye, but that also depends upon the situation. It definitely depends upon the situation, and that's for each and every one of you. As Pride and Joy said, you never know until you're in the moment. So that's that perspective. But then here's another perspective to think about. Do we want someone that we know cannot be rehabilitated and it is pure evil? Do we really, people who are taxpayers, do we really want to spend that money? Because, you know, it can be anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 to $50,000 per inmate. That taxpayers have to come up out of their pocket to house and clothe and feed. And, you know what I'm saying, do we really want them up eating steak dinners and watching cable TV? And, I mean, so that's another perspective. So I guess it all depends upon, you know, where your heart, where your soul is with it. But like I say, with me, depending upon the situation, those would be my three options. But first and foremost, yeah, I think the best way to get back is somebody, yeah, lock them in a cold, dark place and leave them there to die. You know, God know my heart, God know my spirit. But, yeah, sometimes that is the best revenge, to know that every day you're going to be alive and you per se have a freedom per se in your mind. But, yeah, you no longer have the right to walk amongst the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? And I think we've all heard stories and we've all seen movies, and like you say, you can be whoever you want to be, and you can be, you know, big bad and bravado and all that, but once you lock behind them bars, yeah, all that big bad, you know, big bad bully stuff, that's gone. That's over with. That's a wrap. You know what I mean? So that's just something I wanted to throw out there right quick for people to think about. Complete.
Can
I say something?
Go ahead, Jim.
I think Javelin, that do make sense
with the taxpayers' money, now that you said that. But my kids said the same. Well, my kids told me that they don't feel like he should be able to breathe because their brother not breathing, and their niece don't have a daddy, so why should they be alive? So they said they want the death penalty. But I'm having mixed emotions, because, like you said, all my personalities, one of them want them dead, the other want them to suffer, one of them want them tortured. So it's really mixed personalities, emotions, like you said.
I definitely feel you.
But when the day comes, I will let y'all know.
Absolutely. And tell Dominique to get back with us.
May I please?
Absolutely, you may.
And I just want to say this to you, Javelin. You know, I love you, baby. I want you to, somewhere, and I know you're hurting, I can't even imagine your pain, but somewhere in you, somewhere inside of all of y'all, I want you to find you some peace. I know it's going to be hard, and until he is caught and dealt with, I know it's going to be hard, but I want you to find some peace, because this is going to tear you apart, and until you do, your kids that's here is going to suffer. They're not getting their mother. They're getting an angry parent who's lost a child. Mm-hmm. And they're here, and they need you. And you need that peace, because somewhere if you don't, it's going to tear you apart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know you're hurting. I couldn't even imagine the pain. And I know it's terrible. And I can't stand it because I love that baby also. But I just want you somewhere to find some peace so this doesn't get the best of you and your other kids suffer also. That baby loves you. You know, Zariah loves you. Jaycee, they love you. They absolutely adore their mother, all of them, from a distance even. But I want you to just, I'm not asking you to be strong. I'm asking you to just find you some peace. So you don't let this kill you, that you don't let this tear you up, because it's going to. You're going to have to step back and let them do what they're going to have to do. Let God handle this. Unfortunately, so many times we get in his way and we mess things up, and he just sits back and waits for us to do it because he's going to fix it for us. So in your peace of mind somewhere, allow him to do this for you. I can only tell you this because I'm on this side looking in, but I know you, and I love you, and I know how you are about your other kids. I just want you to let God handle this, because this forgiveness, don't let this be a this. Don't let that blessing cannot come to you because you're not forgiven. Because God got this, and he said vengeance is his, and you got to forgive somewhere yourself to get your own blessings. And until you forgive that, and I know it hurts, baby. I get it. I understand. You know I do. But you've got to let this go. You've got to get this forgiveness in your heart just for your own sanity. And it's probably easy for me to say it because it's never happened to me. I get that. I do. But I also know that God wants to protect you. God wants to take care of you. And he's going to. And he will. As soon as you get out of his way, and some will find you some perfect peace, and he's going to take care of it for you. I promise he will. I promise he will, because he said he would. He said he would take care of you. And trust me, he's never lied, and he's never going to lie. But somewhere you've just got to find it inside of you to find that perfect peace somewhere. Somewhere. And even if it's just a little bit at a time, that's okay. But you've got to find that baby to take care of you and the babies that you have here. Tay is fine. Tay really is okay. But Tay doesn't want his mom to not be okay. Tay is fine. But Zariah's here. Your other babies are here. Davion's here. They need you now. They need you now. So I'm asking you, get out of God's way. He got you, baby. He got it. I promise you he's got it. I don't know when, where, or how, but God's going to fix this for you. But you just got to get out of his way.
Amen.
If I can help you in any way whatsoever, if AJ and the squad can do anything for you, you know we're here. But just somewhere I want you to just step back and let and know and have that faith to know that God is going to take care of this for you.
Amen.
I love you, dearly. You know I do. And I'm here if you need anything, anything. If any of y'all up in there with you and Dominique, you know, because Dominique, that's my girl. But if any of y'all need anything, you know we got you. But just somewhere, just think about what's going on right now and who really needs you here. Tay fine, baby. He is fine. He really is. But he wants his mom to be fine, too.
That's it.
I love you, baby.
Thank you.
And I think
Amen.
Right now would be, go ahead.
It would be perfect.
Trying to. Go ahead. Somebody said they wanted to say something.
Yeah.
Amen.
Just to be, gonna suck up. I just wanted to make a comment on the thing. You know, me, that is home personal with me. Because I done been through a loss of killing two of them. Well, not too long ago recently, I done been through it. And now, I wouldn't want nobody to die because, to me, it's like doing the same thing, you know, that they did to my family. So that would be doing the same thing. And then the second thing is it's a waste of tax money. You know, I did the research. It cost about somewhere between $2 to $4 million to kill somebody, execute somebody. There's more better things that taxpayers can be doing with money to help feed hungry people, improve schools, everything with that type of money. So me personally, yeah, let a person sit.
you know, and even with mine, it took me a while. It was thanks to Miss Sheila, the breakthrough prayer minister, Pastor Teresa James, that had helped me get my breakthrough. Because I had a very unforgiving heart for somebody that took something from me. That's something. When you get your child taken from you, you know, threw it away, and the baby mom at the same time, that's something hard. But it does get better once you truly forgive. Because I was the one that, it was like, well, forgive him. I just say, okay, I forgive him, and didn't mean it. But when you truly forgive from your heart, knowing that they're okay in heaven, and God's going to take care of you step by step, everything gets a little bit better and better. So you got to forgive a person. And that's how you get your more bigger blessing, because God going to take care of you. He ain't going to leave you. He ain't going to forsake you. He's going to help you get through everything that you're going through in life.
Yeah.
I'm a living testimony of that. So once you learn to forgive and start living, your children can start living, because your children are watching you first. They're always watching you. It's not no easy thing to do. It's a different role to take for everybody. It takes me a long time. Something I still relax back and I say, I wish they just go ahead and kill, but that would be doing the same thing what he did to mine. But step by step, you have to take. And it starts with truly forgiving and start living life. Because even if that person is caught or not caught, they got to deal with God. And that's the one that really can pass a punishment that nobody else can pass. And I'm complete with that.
Thank you, Mr. Two-Piece. Just real quick, I think this would be a good time before we get up out of here, like we always do about this time. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And we all say, amen.
Amen.
Is that okay? May I say something?
Absolutely,
yes, ma'am.
Baby, I want you to know this from here. I know that's your baby, but I wrote this song about 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago. And I want you to listen to the lyrics of the song. Amen. A young man, God has called him on home, but him and I did a duo together on the blind leading the blind, and his name was Randy Maloon. And the Lord gave me this song. He written it on the table of my heart, and I took it to Brother Randy and asked him what did he think about it, and that he became the part of the song that I wrote. And I'm going to sing a little bit of it for you because I feel your heart. I feel your heart. Amen. And I just want you to listen to the lyric of the song itself. And it says, whatever that you need, God's got it. Whatever that you need, God's got it. Whatever that you need, you need, you need, you need, you need. God's got it. He's got everything that you need. He's got everything that you need. If it's love that you need, God's got it. If it's love that you need, God's got it. If it's love that you need, you need, you need, you need, you need, God's got it. He's got everything you need. If it's strength that you need, God's got it. If it's strength that you need, God's got it. If it's strength that you need, you need, you need, you need, you need, God's got it.
got it. He's got everything you need. He's got everything you need. If it's understanding that you need, God's got it. Understanding that you need, God got it. Understanding that you need. God got it. He's got everything you need. He's got everything you need. He's got everything you need. Amen.
It's right.
Amen. Amen.
Stay tuned. God's got everything that you need. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you, my little sister. God bless you.
Amen.
I'm completed.
Thank you, Evangelist Clayton. That was beautiful, as always.
Amen.
So everybody good? Everybody's all right? Hello?
I want to say one more thing. I want to thank the squad for my birthday. I want to thank Mr. Six Eyes. Amen. To God be the glory. I want to thank Brother Samaji with two piece and a biscuit. I want to thank, amen, AJ, amen, and Queen. I want to thank Miss Pride and Joy. Amen. Each and every one of you, Jada. Amen. My sister, Destiny. Amen. I want to thank each and every one of you, God, Father, each and every one of you. Amen. My birthday was yesterday, but it's still today, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Right.
Amen. To God be glory. So I'm just grateful. Y'all know I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about that. I don't know if my grandson number is on the line with us from a 972 number or a 770 number, but I want to thank you all that tuned in, that came in, and just listened tonight. Amen. I pray you left with something. Amen. To God be the glory. So I'm just grateful. Thank you all, squad. Amen. For
absolutely.
My birthday. Amen. I love you all.
Absolutely.
So there's nothing you can do about that. Amen.
No, family always takes care of family. That's how we roll out the 6 Hours Radio Network. And, of course, A.J. and the
squad.
We appreciate all the special qualities that you add, each and every one of you. Squad members of the 6 Hours Radio Network team. And, of course, all the listeners who call in every day and support what we do. We love, respect, and appreciate each and every one of you.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Does anybody have anything else? We got a few people that haven't really said too much tonight, and that's okay. We appreciate your presence. But does anybody have anything else they want to say?
I'm about to go for now. Y'all have a blessed night.
You too, sweetie.
You have
you
a blessed one.
Sweetie.
Love you, baby. Come back anytime.
We love you. We love
keep
you.
Keep the faith. Keep your head up. Stay in the game,
too.
Bye, Dominique.
Yep. We love you, Dominique.
Dominique, get ready for them all.
That's right. Tell Dominique to hit us up on the Facebook
page.
Is
Dominique going to the concert tomorrow?
Oh, no, so I can't go to no concert because I be fighting too much. And I'm trying not to catch no charges.
No, we don't want you to catch no charges. No, ma'am.
I gotta get ready to come to Asheville.
Okay.
Me and this lady whose son got killed in front of her house in Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Brooks, her son got killed, and we've been fighting for justice and trying to help her. So we're trying to do that march that I was telling y'all about for September the
6th. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to call the city And so Dominique got to get ready because she done called the DA and they didn't call her back. So she about to go walk up in that DA office.
Amen.
See what's going on.
Come to an understanding, huh?
Yes, because I called Monday. We about to be so. I look, you had time enough to call me. So Dominique about to go up in there with her little ponytail and her little boy and see what's going on.
Oh God!
What the business is?
Y'all be safe.
Dominique, something else, honey.
So y'all have a blessed night. You too.
You too,
you too, baby. Thank you for coming by.
Thank y'all for having me in.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely, anytime.
Hi, juvenile
queen. Absolutely, uh-huh. You already know.
You're an honorary member.
There it is. Better know it. Better know it.
Only tell society.
Buddy else, before we play the last song of the night, does anybody else want to get anything out?
An inspirational album from Evangelist Clayton. I just wanted to put that out there. That's what I hear.
Okay.
Amen. I will see that.
That's right. Put that out there, honey.
Your inspirational moment.
Okay. It was good. It was good. Thank you guys for all you do. You need you and everyone.
Thank you.
We're like a puzzle. We all different, but we all come together quite well. Y'all, that's my song.
That's my song, right? On the 65 Radio Network. Call us up 243-9617. Check.
And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad I got that I do believe I love you, and if I should ever go away, well then close your eyes and try to feel the way we do today, and then if you can remember, keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you sure. That's what friends are for good times and bad times. I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for. Well, you came and opened me, and now there's so much more I see. And so by the way, I thank you. Oh, and then for the time when we're apart, well then close your eyes and know the words are coming from my heart. And then if you can remember, smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for. In good times, in bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. Oh, that's what friends.
Keep smiling,
That was Dionne Warwick in France, and that's what friends are for.
Thank you. Check. Thank you so much for that. And if there's nothing else, does anybody have anything else? Anything in your heart, your mind, your spirit, anything? Well, then we're going
to call it a night. Just that song tonight, ladies, it's all required in the speaker. That's what friends are for. Amen. They receive that praise through the ups and downs. That's what friends are for. They help you pull through. So I'm grateful. I'm just beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Six, are you saying something?
I was saying something. I didn't know Evangelist Clayton was talking. I said, we're not out the woods yet. From the Six Eyes Radio Network, we started with the coronavirus. We started with the Delta. We started with the Omicron.
Mm-hmm.
We started with the, now we have the Ninja. So from the Six Eyes Radio Network, please make sure you're washing your hands, practicing social distancing, wearing your mask. They recommend the N195 mask. So that's the mask that almost looks like a cone with the little metal bracket that goes across. That's what they recommend.
Right.
Also, the cloth as well. So I would recommend you wear the cloth plus the N95. And just make sure you practice social distancing, washing your hands, carrying hand sanitizer with you. Also, wipe it down your common areas, your cell phones, your light fixtures, doorknobs, et cetera. And just be
prepared.
Not off the woods yet. The ninja is here. Thank you.
It's here. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, if there be nothing else, you guys have a wonderful night. Thank you so much for tonight. It's definitely been a pleasure. And with that being said, good night. Thank you for joining the 6 Eyes Radio Network with AJ and the squad. You guys have a great night. Catch you next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.